Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Let's be honest. The first place our family turns to when we're looking for a quick getaway is always Airbnb. I know we can find an amazing place to stay at the beach, like St. Simon's on the Georgia coast, for instance. Mm-hmm. It's one of our favorite spots. That's what comes to mind, Matt, when I'm thinking about travel. And while you're staying at someone else's home, have you ever thought about what you could be doing with your own home?
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you are away, because that is all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room if you've got one. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
Today we're talking about guilt tipping, fire freaks, and $40,000 gems.
Guilt tipping. Oh, I like what you did there, like guilt tripping.
Yeah.
But tipping instead. Yeah. No, we've got that story plus plenty of others to get to today. But what's this thing here? You've got something about a birthday. Did I miss somebody's birthday?
Okay, so yeah, you did. Apparently got announced on Instagram.
So.
I saw. So I was wondering, though, if you think this is tacky, because I thought it was. I'll just go ahead and say it up front.
Leading the witness.
Someone we know put a picture of themselves up on Instagram, and they said, happy birthday to me. If you want to like make sure I have a good time today, here's my Venmo handle. And like, and here's my Zelle number or whatever, if you want to just send some
like
money.
Like their
over.
Name?
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before with like newlyweds putting it on the back of their window or something.
Oh, yeah.
That feels a little different to me, even though I'm not likely to be the person who donates to a random car driving down the road. But yeah, what are your thoughts on your friends asking for money on their birthday?
Oh, okay. So I do remember the newlywed thing, and that feels way different than the social media, someone you know. You're going to have to tell me who this is, because I did not see this.
Yeah.
But I would not do that. I could see myself doing the newlywed thing, but the birthday thing, it just feels different, man.
Yeah.
Something about that feels, I don't like it. And I'm not going to hate, because everyone has their own way of doing things. And I think that's a lot of what it comes down to. I think it comes down to your family culture, how it is that you grew up around money, how your family talked about money. Like, it makes me think of, Asian weddings, like when Kate and I got married. All of mom's friends who came to the wedding and or gave us gifts, it was cash.
Yeah.
Like literally cash in envelopes.
It's like Italians and Asians, man.
Yes. And so it's just an ingrained part of the culture. And if you are taking that and creating like the digital version of that, like, hey, hit me up, you know, send me some money on Venmo. That's one thing, but I don't know, the way you're talking about it, it makes it feel a little bit more like a cash grab
kind
of thing, which I don't like much.
We did something like akin to this, I guess, recently when we had our Daffy partnership, our giveaway to some of our favorite nonprofits, but at least that was like, hey.
No, it wasn't for us. It was for
It's to nonprofits, and we're going to match the money that you give. So I don't know. I guess the birthday solicitation for funds. It's like, I don't mind paying for a meal or a beer for a friend like on their birthday. Like,
see, that's the difference.
Something I'm happy to do, an in-person sort of thing.
Well, not only in-person. Well, see, that's, again, I'm fine with it being digital, because that's the digitization of our world, right? But there's a difference between someone pulling that money and you pushing that money, right?
Yep.
Like, there's a big difference there. And if somebody wants to proactively give money to somebody because it is their birthday, because you do want to just, out of the niceness of your heart, Joel. You want to pay for my beer. That's totally fine.
Right.
But if I'm like, hey, dude, it's my birthday. So
where's my present?
So you got beers, right?
Yeah.
Like that just, and obviously you can say that with a smile on your face. Be like, hey, man, it's my birthday. So you got beers tonight?
Yeah.
That gives a difference. There's a different way in approaching it just from like your attitude. So I don't know. Having not seen the post as I'm talking through this, I could see a scenario where I would potentially say, okay, yeah, I'll toss them a few bucks.
Yeah.
They're really kind, and the way they're going about it seems to be appropriate. But
well, I'd be curious.
I guess I picture the worst possible scenario of like, hey, it's my birthday, hook me up.
Yeah, well, that's what it felt like, to be honest. So
okay.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe we'll post.
So they weren't smiling.
No, they were.
They were scowling at you.
No, but it was. Yeah, I don't know. It just felt weird. But maybe we'll post this question in the How to Money Facebook group because I'm curious to hear what other people think. If your friend posts this, are you donating? Or are you like, yeah, nah? Maybe I'll buy him a beer instead. But Matt, let's move on. Let's get to the Friday Flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week. A lot to get to on this episode. First, let's just talk about how good things are for savers. We've talked about this kind of regularly as interest rates have gone up, and for a long time savers were just getting pummeled. Even we remember this years ago, we were talking about switching over to high interest online bank accounts, and it was like, you're gonna get 0.5%.
Yeah.
And now it's 10x that. It's you're maybe gonna get 5%, which is incredible.
Although they have been dropping a little bit. Have you noticed in recent days?
Yeah,
Some of our favorites are coming down a little bit.
CIT went down from 5.05 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not a dramatic drop.
Still good, though.
Yeah, still good. And
definitely check them out.
Still better than the competition. Well, depositaccounts.com reports that Americans earned 4 times the amount in savings in their savings accounts in 2023 than they made in 2022 for a grand total of $315 billion.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the 4X
spread out across
makes
a nation
a whole
of
lot
330
of,
million people.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense, though, too, if you can like consider where savings interest rates were back in 22 and
yeah.
kind of where they jumped to last year.
Yeah.
1 to 5%.
It feels weird to kind of beat the drum on this again because I feel like we say this on the reg. Hey, you should move away from the giant banks because they pay you nothing and they don't care about you, and you should move to an online bank that pays a healthy rate of return like CIT does. But I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were like, yeah, guilty as charged. I'm still with the big bank. So this is clearly still a massive percentage of Americans either haven't really heard enough about it or haven't made the switch. And it's time. It's time,
yep.
Especially the stakes are higher now. And so make sure you're taking advantage of the best rate. I mean, rejoice in the fact that savers are not getting hammered in the same way. At the same time, don't let higher savings rates lull you into a false sense of security. You need to be investing too. We're seeing younger folks just saving more than they likely should be. They should probably be investing more of that money too.
That's true. Okay, so the opposite of saving is borrowing, right? And taking on too much debt is obviously a bad idea, but the right kind of debt at the right time, I think that can help you to do things that you would otherwise be unable to do. I know, it's going to be very difficult for you to save up enough money to purchase a home, for instance.
I've heard that homes are expensive,
man. Yeah, man, or paying for an education. College costs have gone through the roof. And of course, the best place to turn for savings is typically the online banks, but credit unions, they're often going to be the best place to turn for borrowing. Data continues to reflect that credit unions, on average, they offer the best rates out there on auto and home loans. And actually, the disparity is even greater when it comes to auto loans between the what it is that credit unions are offering and banks are offering. And that doesn't mean that you should just knee-jerk go with your local credit union without asking any questions. We, of course, want you to shop around because the savings, they could be pretty massive. And you might find a local bank or just a mortgage broker out there who is going to offer you an even better deal. But also, don't forget about your credit union when it is that you are looking to get a loan.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's a friendly PSA out there for
I think
folks.
Sometimes credit unions feel like, oh, that's where my grandma did her banking or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the online banks, they're better for savings. Like, I'm not going to open up a credit union account for savings typically. But when it comes to borrowing, that is where credit unions shine. If you're looking for a mortgage, I would shop around with multiple credit unions in addition to some of the other places you mentioned, Matt. Like, you want multiple quotes anyway, but you definitely want to make sure you include a credit union in the mix because, yeah, historically and when you look at current stats, credit unions come out on top. They just best their competitors when it comes to some of those borrowing products. Let's talk about real estate investing for a second. We talk about that pretty regularly on the show. It's not for everyone. But it can be a sound investing strategy if you know what you're doing and you've accurately considered what it's going to require of you. Well, there are easier ways to invest in real estate these days, and they continue to get a lot of press. I was reading this article in MoneyWise. They just published one about a company that allows you to invest in real estate with just $100. That's all it takes. Go ahead, come on over to this platform called Arrive, and you don't have to have much money, and you too can be a real estate investor. Well, there's a lot that needs to be said about this, Matt. First, you're not going to make all that much money with $100 as an investor, right? I mean, we talk regularly about the power of small amounts into your retirement accounts, into your investments. But like, I guess I don't want to be investing in real estate with $100. I think this is it feels different. And while Arrived, it's certainly not a scam. There are exorbitant fees. There's a 1% fee. There are other fees built into the process as well, eating into the capital that you throw in there at the beginning. So like there's a property management cut that they take, which makes sense because real estate has job-like qualities and they have to pay people to manage the real estate that they're buying. Plus, by the way, investing via this platform, it takes away some of the built-in benefits of buying your own rental property or building an ADU, let's say, on your property. Yes, of course, doing those things, it's more labor and capital intensive. That's why we typically refer to real estate investing as a part-time job. And when you take that component out, though, it just doesn't make sense for a whole lot of folks to be investing in real estate. The numbers, they just don't make as much sense. And so if you prefer the simple and easy route, we don't blame you at all. Simple index funds inside of those retirement accounts is a totally fine way to build wealth. It's just best to avoid real estate investing altogether and not to mess with some of these online micro real estate investing platforms. I don't like what they're up to.
Well, and it's not that we're against real estate. It's the fact that the fees that are associated with them, right? Because if they had a similar track record as boring old investing in index funds with a 0.03% expense ratio associated with the management of that property,
yeah,
I'd be fine with that. So in a lot of cases, it comes down to the numbers.
And you're right. Like there are real estate investment trusts, REITs, that you can invest in that are publicly traded. Why not do that?
There is a way to do that, actually.
It's much lower cost. That's way better than these platforms.
Yeah. Yeah, Vanguard actually has a REIT. And speaking of fees and investing, Vanguard, they announced that they're actually going to be tacking on trading fees for some transactions. So if you're a Vanguard fan out there, hopefully your ears are perking up because this is a bit weird in the post-Robinhood era, right?
Yeah. Fees in Vanguard, usually we're thinking Vanguard's lowering fees.
This is odd. This does not make sense. Don't get all riled up because it's only going to cost you money if you opt to place trades via the telephone. So if you want to actually trade with a representative, if you want to get on the phone, get on the horn. Isn't that what they call it, Joel? Vanguard, they're going to charge you $25. And
can you imagine dialing Vanguard up on your rotary phone? And yes, sir, I'd like to place a trade for 20 shares of
my
Coca-Cola.
Accounts, I don't know, but staffing the different call centers, right? That costs money, and funneling folks towards the website instead, and like their app as well, like that costs essentially nothing. I think most How to Money listeners out there, they're obviously not going to be affected by this, but we thought it was worth mentioning just in case you saw a headline about Vanguard upping their fees, because typically that is not something they do. That's one of the reasons we love them so much, because they've all but eliminated fees. But in this case, they're looking, it's carrots and sticks, man, right? Yeah. And so they want folks to be investing online, and so I'm not going to blame them for that.
I actually celebrate this. I think this is great. Like, charge more for the things that cost you more as a business, and then you can bring down cost in other areas.
Yes, it's like discount airlines, because it's just like, all right, there's certain little hoops, and if you want this old, it's not a privilege, it's like a benefit, the ability to do this thing, well, it's going to cost you a little bit more.
You're incentivizing.
I am all for it.
Incentivizing the behavior you want to see, and granted, things are trending in that direction anyway. I don't know anybody who's placed a trade call via phone, but if Vanguard wants to be able to provide even lower fees on funds and reduce fees in other areas, they're going to need to charge more for the people who still want the old school ability.
They're just trying to be competitive.
Yeah, to trade via their phone. All right, let's talk about tipping. A new study finds that rapidly changing tipping norms are causing Americans to tip more, except they're doing it reluctantly. They're not happy about it. Guilt-induced tipping, which is basically anything above and beyond what we feel is a reasonable tip, that's what it is costing each of us about $500 annually. And that's not a shock, I don't think, because most of us have felt that pressure when the tablet gets swiveled around towards us, like those beads of sweat form on your forehead, your palms get a little sweaty. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Because I don't know the tipping norms anymore, and I am not sure, you know, what I'm supposed to tip at this random place. And wait a second, this place didn't even ask for a tip last time I came in. I didn't realize you were supposed to tip here. And it's like, that happens, Matt, even if there's not a hard sell being done, even if no one's like, so how much are you going to tip me? And then another survey last month found that the vast majority of Americans think that tipping is, quote unquote, out of control. And if you are one of the few people who does not think that, do you even live in polite society? Do you even go out, or do you only stay at home?
Do you even tip, bro?
Right. Maybe you're just avoiding like all the places where tipping is being asked for. And in that case, more power to you. You're like cooking at home.
Yeah, if that's the case, so hat tip
all
to
the
you.
Time. Yeah, it's like way to go.
But how many more tip puns can we? Are you a day tipper, Joel? Or are you
a day tipper?
Like the Beatles song?
Oh, day I'm sorry. Don't really tipper. Like the Beatles.
What?
I know.
It's a classic. Oh, I almost said American Band, but.
They're not.
You got to know the Beatles, man.
I probably should.
Okay.
Okay. I think, Matt, when people feel like their stomach knots up and they're not sure how to tip, though, there's not like amazing advice for this because sometimes you just have to be willing to say no and feel that awkwardness. I think the best advice we can offer on this front is to know your tipping sweet spot. Like, I'll tip if I'm ordering a coffee, I'll tip $1. Which
totally.
Is a
always.
High percentage, right? Mm-hmm. But still, I think reasonable.
And totally agree.
I tip a much smaller percentage for counter service. I'm not tipping 20% when I walk up to the barbecue joint and I order my stuff and I go sit down. Yeah. And then they call me and then I come pick it up myself.
Like, or if you're getting it to go and you're standing there waiting. Yeah. No.
But now, but the same swivel turns around. Either way.
They've got the presets on there.
That's
they're
right.
Like, you want to tip 15, 20, or 25%.
And so I think a little bit of thought on the front end can help alleviate some of those concerns. You just know, hey, in this scenario, I tip this
keeps
much.
You from panicking in the moment.
That's right. And in this scenario, I tip this much. Then you don't have to let the awkwardness of the moment cause you to overtip because, of course, $500 a year.
That's a lot of money.
In guilt-induced tipping, that's a lot. That's more than I thought.
Okay, you want to hear another scenario that I've found myself in when it comes to coffee? Mm-hmm. And that is when, we buy our beans at local coffee shops. Mm-hmm. There's two in particular that I like to frequent and buy beans at. And so what that does is it takes a normal $2 cup of coffee plus tip, and it now turns into a $22 order because I've purchased a $20 bag of beans.
Yeah, are you still supposed to tip 20%?
No, that's what I want to highlight here is that you don't have to tip on products, right? Like in my mind, that's a product. That's something I pulled off the shelf and I am now paying for. But what's required though is hitting that custom because you got the 15,
that's
20,
right.
and 25. They make it so easy for you just to reach up there and hit one of the presets. Don't be afraid to take a second longer. Hit the custom button. Do a little bit of math and realize, oh, wait a minute. No, I just got a couple coffees. A couple bucks. It's a few additional steps, but hey, that's what it takes to keep you from overspending, from over-tipping over the course of the year.
Yeah, and our advice isn't to be a cheapskate when it comes to tipping. Like, never. That is never the goal.
Be generous.
Yeah, but of course, we've all been in that place where tipping is being asked more frequently and where we're unsure about when a certain percentage tip is deserved. Sit-down restaurants, Matt, I'm still like minimum 20%. Likely I'm going 30 or more. Like, if it's great service.
Dang, son.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind. Like,
Joel's loaded.
I'm happy.
Watch out, wait staff. Here comes Joel. Everyone's like lining up to jostle for position.
Uh-huh. I'm more than happy to tip a healthy amount if I feel like the service was wonderful. So it's not about being cheap, but it is about knowing in advance when you feel okay tipping, when you feel okay hitting that custom and typing in your own amount and not just feeling guilted into it at the moment.
Totally.
So, all right, Matt, we've got more to get to, including, man, what about a $40,000 a year gym membership? Sounds like something CrossFit Matt would be into. Well, we'll get to that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
Joel, so we were just recounting our trip to Scotland. This is the trip that we took this time last year, actually, with some of our friends over the weekend. And one of the highlights from Edinburgh was stumbling upon the absolute best meat pie shop. Mm-hmm. They were fresh out of the oven. They had that perfectly flaky crust. But guess what? That serendipitous experience would never have happened if we'd stayed at a boring hotel. We had found the perfect flat in the coolest part of town thanks to Airbnb.
Ah, Matt, I'm still dreaming about those meat pies. You're making you're making me drool. And while turning to Airbnb might be a no-brainer when you're looking to spend some money on travel, it might not be the first thing you think of when you're looking to make some money. Why let it sit empty, your house, when it could be earning extra income, though? It's the financially smart thing to do. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra dough.
Yeah, that's right. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend. All right, we're back from the break, and before we get to the ludicrous headline of the week, you must think I've got Joel money if you're thinking I would join a $40,000 gym. Joel, I don't pay nearly that much in order to, although the CrossFit membership, it is expensive.
It ain't cheap. But,
before we get to that story, though, the ludicrous headline of the week, and this is from The Times. Headline reads, "Your neighbors are retiring in their 30s. Why can't you?" And so this was a well-written article about the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early, and a few of its members, folks who are a part of the cult. But it does kind of highlight the worst elements of the FIRE movement, because if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know that we're not huge fans of FIRE as a concept. The financial independence part, the FI part, absolutely, yes,
that's
100%.
A good goal.
We want you to achieve greater levels of financial freedom over the years, sure. But the part, the RE part, the retire early part, no thank you. Because we certainly, I don't know, like, we've got a lot of thoughtful friends in the FIRE space, but the movement, it almost became a caricature of sorts. And on one hand, I love how jarring and inspiring it can be, especially given the financial situation of the average American, right? Mm-hmm. Like when 40% of Americans can't handle a $400 expense, for them to be jolted, for there to be a wake-up call to see that, oh, I don't actually have to live like this, I think that can be incredibly helpful.
Just seeing that it can be done, you're like,
yes.
Well, how come I can't get it together at mm-hmm. least to be able to cover that $400 expense? I think it can be at least a little bit of an eye-opener.
Absolutely, yeah. It's inspiring for a lot of folks, but I think the intensity of it can be off-putting. I think it can be hard to stomach, causing many folks out there to sacrifice their lives in order to grow the bottom line, their investments. They're trying to achieve their FIRE number. I think having more options as your wealth grows, that's certainly great. Take the good points that fire has to offer and then just leave the rest.
Yeah, yeah. It, just like anything, right? Like there's, in any ideology someone's trying to sell you, it's amazing, Matt, we're like in lockstep with political parties or whatever. And that's, to me, that's so sad. Like we should be independent thinkers. And I'm willing to take a little bits from here, a little bits from there, and develop my own philosophy on life, not take somebody else's. And it makes me think of a recent episode we had with Gwen Murs, 779. She was a hardcore fire adherent for many years in her early to mid 20s, and then she realized, wait a second, I'm missing out on so much life.
Yes.
Because of that. And so I would encourage anybody who's become enamored with the fire movement or is at least even curious to hear her story. And it's not that she's not all about saving or investing anymore, but it's about the intensity of it and the sort of like put on the horse blinders, right? We just had the Kentucky Derby recently, Matt. And those blinders keep you in your lane, right?
I called Mystic Dan, by the way.
You did call it.
You and I were watching it live, which is maybe the first time I'd ever watched the Kentucky Derby live.
Crazy photo finish, that's for sure.
It makes me want to go to the casinos and start making bets.
Please don't.
No, I'm glad you brought up Gwen, because like one of the most fascinating parts of that article was this guy, and he, you know, we'll call it fired, right? Like he was able to retire early after developing an app that made him a ton of money. But he talks about how he got to fast forward through life, and his friends, they were still in the middle of their movie. And I think he actually meant it as like a cool thing. But yeah. I mean, isn't that the whole point of watching a movie, is to enjoy like what happens during the movie? Because yeah. He said, and here's a quote, "After I traveled the world and had done just about every possible fun thing I could possibly do, I often found myself wondering, what now?" Well, duh, dude. Like, come on. Like, even... And I think this can be difficult for folks who have financial difficulties in their life, but even if a massive amount of money came into your life, that can't inform your purpose. And I think that's one of the potential downsides of pursuing FIRE hardcore, because we're all about the high savings rate. We're all about saving and investing more than the average American, where you're able to gain more financial security, more options in life. But we're also all about creating a life that you don't want to retire from. And man, we talk about that a lot here on the show.
Yeah.
I give way more thought to what I want my days and what I want my weeks to look like, because that is the actual substance of your life. Like going back to the movie analogy, the goal isn't to like race through the movie. The goal is to enjoy like every second of it that you have. And I spend way more time thinking about the day to day of my life and like that quote unquote like lifestyle design, as opposed to my FIRE number and how much money I've got invested and how much I've got, you know, in the bank. So
yeah, it makes me think about a video
perspective,
game.
Folks.
The thing that makes the fight with the bad guy at the end so awesome is because you've had to traverse a bunch of stuff to get there, right? And I think it's the same is true. Like life, the living your life, enjoying it in the here and now, not just pining for some future date and hitting some sort of, you know, 7-digit retirement number. I think ultimately that's the best way to live. And so, yeah, if early retirement is something that's like on your radar and you're stoked for it, we're not trying to dissuade you from that necessarily. Just trying to help you at least don't give up the present and go take the nose to the grindstone approach for a decade plus just to get there, because so many people find that the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow isn't quite what they thought it was going to be. All right. Speaking of pots of gold, Matt, a lot of people have pots of golds in their home. They basically have so much money in home equity and they're trying to figure out what to do with it. The stats came in this week that U.S. homeowners have accrued a record amount of home equity to the tune of $16.9 trillion. That has more than quadrupled over the past 12 years or so. And $11 trillion of that home equity is what's known as tappable, which means that those dollars are in excess of the 20% equity that you would need to remain in the home if you were to take some money out of your house. This is clearly a good thing for anybody who has bought a house. They're pretty thrilled that they're, the place that provides a roof over their head has also had some investment-like qualities and returns. It's nice when your primary home helps to boost your net worth. But with that comes the temptation to treat your home like a piggy bank. And it's not that tapping your home equity never makes sense, but as borrowing costs have risen, it becomes an even more precarious decision. Because what, a HELOC rate, you're talking about 8%+ these days. You definitely don't want to cash out refi and get out of your 3-point-something% mortgage. So I would just say enjoy knowing that your net worth is fatter. But also, don't let that reality lead to more spending and more debt. Let you think maybe that you're richer than you actually are.
Sure. Yeah, that's what's known as the wealth effect, right? Where folks are spending more money, not because their income has actually gone up and they have more disposable income, but because their wealth levels have gone up, because their net worth has increased. But by doing that, you're spending unrealized gains, which creates other financial problems down the road. Okay, so by the way, there is some good news out there on the medical debt front. It's not impacting credit reports to the same extent that it did a few years ago. This is thanks to the fairly new approach that credit bureaus are taking of not reporting medical bills that are less than $500. The number of Americans that have medical debt reported on their credit reports has dropped from 15% down to 4%. That's a significant decrease. And, we've got some of the best healthcare in the entire world here in the United States, but it can be a brutal system to navigate. And so this is just a reminder to stick up for yourself and to push back against some of the ridiculous medical bills, not to not pay what it is that you actually owe, but especially push back, though, if your medical bill exceeds $500, because that is when it's going to show up on your credit report. And we're kind of approaching this as good news, but I'm actually, the more I think about it, I wonder if it's not the best of news, because, like, do you think credit report or credit score inflation is going to happen, Joel? Because it almost, in my mind,
it is happening.
Feels like stimmy checks, because right when you receive it, you're feeling pretty great about it. You're thinking, oh, sweet, I've got more money to spend. But when everyone has more money, what happens to prices? Well, they went up. Well, in this case, if everyone across the board on average sees their credit scores go up, I'm curious what kind of impact that might have a year or two down the line, as essentially credit scores are elevated. Maybe that means a higher threshold, a higher standard, a higher bar in order to achieve certain loan products. Yeah. Or, you know, there's always unintended consequences of mass implementation of something like this on the American public.
I know what you're saying. I guess the way the credit scoring system was constructed initially, though, and the bureaus who are in charge of these, like, rules, I don't really have much faith in them either, or that the system works the way it should. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau floated even this week. Somebody who works there said something about maybe trying to remove medical bills from credit reports altogether, which might be the best way, especially in a society and a system that is so screwed up, that does underserve and harm consumers so often. I guess I'm just worried. We've talked about this before, just how many of those medical bills are fraught with peril, with errors, and people don't know how to fight back. And they have to, and we talk about this regularly, how can you fight back against some of those medical bills? It's crucial. So I guess I'm in favor of seeing them not harm people's credit standing as much as they have been. Let's talk about fitness for a second, Matt. Would you like to 20x your spending this year on your fitness regimen? How do you feel about that?
Is that how much more it would cost me?
I think it would cost you at least that much more. You obviously can't avoid medical debt completely just by being fit. If you could, though, you might be willing to spend this much. But fitness can help you avoid higher medical bills. And the fitness industrial complex seems like they're here to lend a hand, but for a price. You might have thought CrossFit was expensive. I know Matt thinks his CrossFit is expensive, but Equinox Fitness just launched a $40,000 a year membership this week, making CrossFit look cheap in the process. You get access to personal training, nutrition plans, sleep coaching, massage therapists, and more. It's kind of like you're the high-end sports car and you got a pit crew attending to every area of your health and wellness. That's at least how they make it sound. But the cost is, of course, staggering. Like, It's like a fitness club for the 1% is my guess. I can't imagine many people can afford this.
It's for the Brian Johnson types out there who are out there getting blood transfusions in order to live as long as humanly possible.
To reverse the aging process. Yeah. Not even just to slow it down, right?
And if you have no idea what we're referencing, just search Brian Johnson, Tech Bro, blood transfusion, and you'll see the weird pictures and stories accompanying this guy.
Well, he doesn't just spend $40,000 a year. He spends multi-million, $2 million a year, I think.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
On his regimen.
It's so weird.
All the, like, supplements he takes and all that kind of stuff. I think the truth is, Matt, we know what we should be doing in the fitness realm. Most of us just aren't great at doing it, myself included. Like, I try to stay on track, but I'm not as disciplined or dedicated as you are. But I think the truth is also that we don't need a fancy Equinox team to aid us in our quest to lose weight or be healthy. But at the same time, I think, you know, the more data, the more accountability in our lives, that can help inform us and also help us become more willing to change. So
yeah.
Well, I don't want to like hate on this hardcore, but I also like nobody's going to spend this money. None of our
listeners are. It's ridiculous, though. I hear what you're saying, like the data, like that's why you tried to get me to get the stupid Garmin watch for so long. And I resisted because you're like, oh, you're going to love it. And I'm like, well, I know I'm going to love it. That's why I'm trying to resist it, because I'm trying not to become overly obsessed with the data and the numbers. And now look what I am. Yeah. This is your fault, Joel.
You're a cyborg.
I'm not a cyborg, but what gets measured gets managed. What gets measured gets improved. And at least this, it's not like you tried to like turn me on to smoking or something like that. Like it's something that is benefiting me. But I agree with what you're saying, because the basics of health and fitness, it's just not rocket science. It's sort of like with personal finances. You spend less than you make and invest the rest, and that is how you're going to grow your net worth.
Yeah, but if we only said that every week, our show would be quite short.
Yeah, there's a lot more nuance to it. But bottom line, I think this is interesting, because I think we're going to see more of these different services pop up. And with the increased competition, the cost is going to come down over time. For instance, one of the companies that Equinox that they work with is this other company called Function Health. And evidently you can work with them directly and you can cut out the middleman, which is interesting. I might be curious in checking that out if that slashes the price in a significant way.
I'd say I'd get it for you for your birthday, but only if you post on Instagram and beg for it.
No, yeah. What is cool, they run lab tests, they make individualized suggestions based on the results, but at the same time, there are different ways of doing that on your own when it comes to figuring out what it is that you're trying to achieve from a fitness standpoint as an individual, but also what you're willing to spend and what you can spend. I mean, just getting a blood test, that isn't something that should cost you $40,000 a year. It makes me think of Drew over at Move to Improve. Like, he guest posted and he talked about how, hey, there are a lot of different things that you can do for free or for super cheap in order to stay fit.
Yeah, we'll put that article in our show notes, because I love that. Yeah, Drew's all about you know, fitness and hey, making fitness accessible, and what are the things that you can do on repeat that is going to actually make a difference over the long run. And so I really appreciate his take. And I think it's also important to mention there's nothing wrong with spending money on your health, like buying better foods instead of the cheapest calorie dense most processed items that you can find at the grocery store.
Paying for an expensive gym membership.
Yeah, buying a nicer bike or something like that.
All of these things.
Because, hey, guess what? That means you're going to get on your bike more frequently and you're going to stay healthier that way. But also know that an expensive subscription, it's not always the answer either. And of course, again, I don't think most of our listeners are going to be jumping on this, but just think about that in a lot of areas of life. Sometimes we think the expensive subscription is going to come in and save the day, when really some research and a plan would bring the cost down and allow us to do the thing we want to do reliably without, you know, spending buku dollars.
That's right. But it's a quick little reminder here that Mother's Day is this coming Sunday. So if you are a mom and you are listening to the podcast, we certainly hope it's a special one for you. Also, a newsletter referral shout out, because our friend over at The Best Interest, Jesse, I saw that he referred the newsletter out to some friends.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse. What's
Jesse's
up, man?
Jesse's got a great newsletter of his own.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. But buddy, that's going to be it for this episode. We will make sure to have links to the different stories and different resources we mentioned during the episode up on the website at howtomoney.com.
No doubt. Until next time, bud. Best friends out.
Best friends out.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.